Well, that'll help if I just turn my mic on, maybe. That'll help a little bit. Hey, great to see everybody. Man, our growth groups were off the hook this week. Were those pretty great? Come on, let's hear it, man. Both of you, thank you very much. Yeah, all right. Really excited. Our church really gets excited. What you really like is to visit with one another. I know that. So I only have about 23 pages of notes, so I'll be short this morning. All right, not really. For those of you who are in a growth group and you have your 40 days of prayer journal, you can open that up to page 37. There's a good place to take some notes there this morning. I wanted to let you know also we wrapped up our Christmas offering last week, and we have received almost $30,000 for our Christmas offering. So give the Lord a hand for that. That's all money that's going to be used to do ministry. We don't pay light bills and stuff like that or salaries with that money. That's all ministry we get to use for you want those up? Is that what you're saying? Bring the lights up just a little bit, maybe? Sydney's going to just keep waving at me through the whole message. As you get older, your eyes begin to dim a little bit, you know, and that's just awful. Somebody asked me about the Christmas offering. They said, I want to make an offering, but I can't do it for a couple weeks. Will you still accept that? I said, yeah, I think so. I think it'll be okay, so. All right, well, welcome to 40 Days of Prayer, week two. Man, we're already having a great time. If you're not in a growth group, you can still join one, and it's just going to help you so much. Now, prayer, man, what a big topic. I mean, I struggle to figure out how to start this thing and where to go with it, and, you know, it's so multifaceted, and, you know, I thought, why not? So I typed prayer into Amazon. There's like 136,000 books on prayer in Amazon. I searched Google, 132 million web pages, including 4 million videos and 6 million news articles. So we have 7 weeks. Yeah, so it's going to be a full journey. It's going to be some good stuff. Now, I've been a pastor for over 30 years, and I've noticed a few things about prayer, and all these won't be in your notes, but if you want to write them down in your journals, you can do that, or just kind of make a mental note. But I've learned some things about prayer, and one is that our Creator wired us to pray. Everybody prays. Every culture, they may not pray to the one true God, but they may pray to their ancestors or to a statue or to many other gods, but everybody prays. Even an atheist prays. If you slug him in the stomach, he says, oh God, right? Right? Everybody prays. Everybody. Well, why are we created that way? Well, it's one of the things that separates us from the animal world. I mean, worms don't pray, cows don't pray. I'm sorry, but cats certainly don't pray. All right, you know, if you want to send me hate mail for not liking cats, my email address is jcampbell@gateway4.org. All right. We're wired for prayer. Another thing I've learned about prayer is that none of us feel like we're very good at it. Very few people. I've never met someone that says, I'm an expert prayer. You know, we don't feel like we're very good at it. You know, even the Apostle Paul, who wrote like two-thirds of the New Testament, in Romans chapter 8 says we do not know how to pray. We all feel inadequate with our prayer lives. You think about the disciples. They walked with Jesus, and they talked with Jesus, and they did ministry with Jesus. They saw him heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons and multiply food and walk on water. And not once did they say, Lord, teach us to do miracles. Not once did they saw Jesus take simple, practical illustrations and turn them into parables, like the sower and the seed. A guy goes out to sow a seed. And we're still studying that 2,000 years later. And not once did they say, Lord, teach us how to preach. But what did they say in Luke chapter 11? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. See, we're all inadequate when it comes to our prayer, and our prayer lives. And listen, God does not want talking to him to be difficult for us. Thank you, Mother. All right. God does not want us to wrestle and to be afraid to come with him. He wants us to be able to come boldly before his throne of grace. And that's something we'll be talking about in this series. Here's a third thing I've noticed is that our frustrations with prayer are often based on misconceptions. And we'll talk about a bunch of those in this series. There are so many false ideas about prayer. Let me give you just four real simple ones. You can jot these down if you want. One is prayer is not a magic wand. Sometimes we think that prayer is like this stick that Harry Potter waves around. You know, abracadabra, you're a great husband. Ladies, wouldn't that be nice? Or, you know, yeah, you're like, you know, hocus pocus, give me the promotion. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know the origin of that word hocus pocus? Its origin is actually a corruption of a Latin phrase used in Catholic Mass. Hocus corpus meum means this is the body of Christ. And so it was like at one point some guy was sitting in the back and he couldn't hear very well and he heard the hocus corpus meum. He said hocus pocus, Latin body of Christ. He said, okay, hocus pocus, you know. So that's probably where that came from. So, you know, prayer is not a magic wand, neither is it a fire extinguisher. A lot of times we have this misconception that prayer, you know, break this glass only in case of emergency. And we think that prayer is like, oh, it's a last resort. Well, all we can do now is pray. Oh, has it gotten that bad? Has it come to that? You know, talking to God is not just for emergencies. It should be a first choice, not a last resort. Another misconception is that prayer is this tug of war with God. It's like you've got to wear God down before he'll give you what you want, right? I mean, sometimes we feel like we have to just beg and please, 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 please. You know, just, you know, some of you are looking like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I think all of us do that at one point or another. Let me tell on myself a little bit. A couple months ago, I'd gotten a new computer. My hard drive had gotten so full on my old computer that it was way too slow. So I got this new computer, and I'm cleaning up my old one so I can give it away to somebody. And I have all my files are in the cloud. Now, some of you, that's kind of new language too, but, you know, iCloud or Google Drive or whatever. You can put all your files on somebody else's hard drive that's a huge, massive hard drive, and then you can access your files from any computer, any place. They don't have to just be where you are. So I'm thinking, I'm going to be so smart. I'm cleaning up this computer. I'm getting rid of all those files. I'm just delete and delete and delete and delete and delete and delete. And I'm kind of proud of myself because I'd never done that. And then that afternoon, I was preaching on Sunday. That was a Saturday afternoon. I went to get on my other computer. I thought I should look over my notes. They were gone. I deleted all my files. They were gone out of the cloud. And I did what I'm telling you not to do. I was like, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, 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 God. And so I Googled how do you get those back, and I was able to get them back, but I was terrified. And we all do that from times. We feel like we have to beg God, and like for some reason he doesn't really want to answer our prayer. But how many of you know that he's a good father, and he wants to come through for you? And sometimes we want to bargain with God, right? Anybody ever do that? God, if you will do this for me. God, if you will do this for me, I'll do this for you, and you will be one lucky God. Right? Come on. Am I telling the truth? Don't we do that sometimes? Well, that's a misconception. You know, it's not a tug of war with God. God wants to meet your needs. He wants you to come to him. He doesn't want you to have to hold back and be afraid to come to him. One last misconception, and that is that prayer is not a ritual to relieve guilt. Now, some traditions, and I'm not disrespecting anybody's tradition, but it is a tradition of man that if you sin, it means you have to go and say something over and over and over and over again to be forgiven. You know, you got to say 20 Hail Marys or whatever. And I'm not disrespecting somebody's religion. I'm just saying that's a tradition. That's not Bible. That's not what Jesus taught. Oh, you really blew it, so you got to pray a lot now. Prayer is not penance for sin. Amen. Jesus specifically told us not to repeat the same thing over and over again. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, this is Jesus speaking. This isn't me. This is Jesus. These letters are red here in my Bible. It's Jesus speaking, verse 7, chapter 6 of Matthew. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers will be answered merely by repeating their words again and again. See, prayer is not some kind of mindless ritual. Prayer isn't, you know, all about, you know, repeating certain words or you know, having the right phrase. You know, I mean, we treat prayer like a genie or a vending machine sometimes that you put in a prayer and pull out your request. And that's not what it's. God wants a relationship. He wants a friendship. He wants you to be close to him. That's his heart's desire for each of us. So during our 40 days of prayer, we're going to demolish all sorts of these kind of misconceptions with the truth. We're going to just knock those things out with the truth of the Word of God. So what I want to do this morning with us is I want to just give you four foundational truths about prayer to help you see it in a different way. The great coach, Vince Lombardi, the legend of him, says the way he'd start every season was the same. He'd gather his players together, he'd take a football, and he'd say, gentlemen, this is a football. That's what we're doing this morning. Folks, this is what prayer, this is the foundation of prayer. So I want to give you four things this morning. You can write this down. Here's the first one. God loves for me to talk with him. Bottom line, God loves it when you talk with him. It blesses his heart when you talk with him. And you know what? It doesn't have to be a religious topic. You know, if you're interested in something, God is too. Well, why would God be interested in what I'm interested in? I don't get it. What's that all about? Bottom line, he loves you. He loves you. If you're interested in something, he's interested in something. Many of you have heard me talk about my old Corvette. And I've made the mistake of saying, what guy needs an old Corvette? And all the guys said, I need an old Corvette, you know. Amen. My friend had this beautiful 1966 Corvette convertible, 427, side pipes, fast, loud, everything you'd ever dream of in a car. And he didn't drive it. I saw the car, and I said, man, that's an awesome car. He tossed me the keys. He said, drive it for a while. I drive it, and then I'd say, oh, no, I want you to have it back. He said, no, I want you to drive it. And I said, well, why don't you sell it to me? No, I'm not going to sell it. I've had it too long. I'm not going to sell it. I'd drive it a little more, and then I think, no, I got to give it back. And one day, I walked outside my house. It was sitting in my driveway. 100% honest, this is what I did. Very spiritual prayer. God, if there's any way I could get this car, I love this car. Super spiritual prayer. The next day, I got a call from him. No kidding. The very next day, hey, here's the deal. I want you to have the car. Here's the price. Boom. Gave me a good deal on it. Still sitting in my guitar, in my car, in my garage. It's an awesome car, man. What's up with that? Is God showing how much he loves us? Especially me. Maybe he loves me more than you guys. I don't know. But God loves it when we talk with him. He loves that. He loves you. When you love someone, you love to hear their voice, right? When you love someone, you love to hear what they're interested in. Besides that, where do you think those interests came from? God gave you those interests. He made you uniquely you. We use this this word around here, shape, S-H-A-P-E. It talks about this, how God made you. It's how God shaped you. He gave you your spiritual gifts. You have unique spiritual gifts, things that he has deposited in you to use for the sake of his kingdom. He's given you your heart. That's your passion. What will you pound the table over? That's your passion. That's your heart. A is your ability, certain sets of skills. P is your personality. Are you introverted? Are you extroverted? E is your experiences, because God never wastes a hurt. You've gone through difficult things. God never wastes those. He wants to use those to help other people. He gave you those interests. He enjoys talking with his children. Psalm 103, verse 13, says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. You know, babies are deeply loved even before they can talk, right? You're introduced to that baby and you just fall in love. Even in the womb, you fall in love with that child. But parents long for the day when they could have a conversation with that child. Grandparents long for the day they can have a conversation with that child. God loves you deeply, even if you can't or you don't talk with him. But listen, he wants you to grow up, and part of that is learning to pray, learning to have conversation with him. That's what prayer is all about. He wants you to grow up. It means learning how to talk with him. Learning to pray is like learning another language. It's learning to speak. You listen and you practice and you get better. Words become sentences. Did anybody's first sentences make much sense? No, see, we learn to pray that way. And you know, there's nothing off limits to what we can pray about. Nothing off limits. Some people think that you should only talk to God about really important things or really spiritual things. But John, 1 John chapter 5, John says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Little qualifier there, according to his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. See, God wants you to be able to pray without fear or without shame or without hesitation. He wants you to be able to come to him and just build that relationship, build that friendship, build that love relationship with him. He loves to talk to you. Prayer is a conversation. It's not a ceremony. It's not this big event. It's a relationship, not a ritual. See, God wants to just, he wants you to be close to him. He wants you to know him. If prayer is boring to you, either you're praying about the wrong things or you're going about it the wrong way. Because there is nothing that compares to when you begin to hear back from God. And it's that conversation back and forth. It's not one-sided. Not one-sided. People often miss the second verse. You've got Jeremiah 29:11, a very famous verse. I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts I think towards you. But they miss verse 12. Jeremiah 29:11-12 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, though, says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. So that's the heart of God. He is interested in everything that you're interested in because he loves you. That's why. Here's the second thing you can write in your notes. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. You don't have to use flowery language and fancy phrases. I mean, maybe you've been around some people. I have a friend, he's kind of a pre-Christian, but he was raised in church, and so he's prayed over meals when we've been together, and he prays this King James English, you know, like 600 years old, and I love the guy, but I harass him a little bit anyway, but I think sometimes when, you know, anybody who uses that kind of language when they pray, I think God says, why are you praying to me that way? I'm not even from England. Right? Right? I mean, how many of you know it's okay to pray, God, thank you for this In-N-Out burger. This is awesome. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Just has to come from your heart to be authentic and real and honest. That's what God's looking for. Don't pray what you think you ought to pray. Don't pray what you think God wants you to pray. Pray what's going on inside and let God shift and change your heart and change your mind. He loves to do that. You ever hear people make one request in prayer, but they embellish it in like 9 different ways because they think that longer is stronger? Okay, I didn't mean to step on anybody's toes there, but you know, I'm speaking the truth, right? You know, sometimes I think God comes along and says, "Hey, land the plane," right? Oh God, land the plane. Can I just give you a few tips about praying in public? 3 things. First minute you're praying in public, people are praying with you. They're like, thank you, Lord. Come on, Come on. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Second minute, they're praying for you. Lord, help him. Lord, help him. Third minute, they're praying against you. Yeah? Right? Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can hear them. See, don't pray for other people so other people can hear you. So they're like, ooh, he's a good prayer. I tell you the truth, Jesus speaking. That is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. He's not saying you can only pray in private. He's just saying don't make a show of your prayer. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And when you pray, verse 7, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. This passage is loaded. Let's unpack it for a minute. So first of all, he says, listen, don't pray to show off. Don't let your prayer be a performance. Don't pray to impress people. Be sincere. You know, don't add a bunch of cliches and this and that. And, you know, don't use a bunch of filler words just because you think, you know, my prayer is going to be too short if I don't have a bunch of filler words. You know what the worst filler word we use in our culture today? Just. Telling the truth, right? Think about it. Lord, we just come to you. Just because you're the Lord, and just because you love our prayers, and just because if I keep saying just, my prayer is going to be longer. Right? So, you know, engage the mind also, engage the lips and the brain. Keep it simple. Adding more words doesn't make the prayer stronger. Anybody getting sore toes this morning at all? I hope not. In a growth group on Wednesday night, I go to Joe and Christine's growth group, and Joe was sharing a story. Christine was really sick, and Joe and his daughter Nanette were praying for Christine, and Bojo, their little guy, was out in the yard. He's a little guy at that time. He's a grown man now, and Joe called Bojo in and said, Bojo, come on, let's pray for Mom. She's really sick. So Bojo comes in from playing. He says, Jesus, please heal Mom. Then he ran back out to pray. Joe was praying so hard, he told us, that he about blew a vein out in his forehead. And as soon as Bojo said, Jesus, please heal Mom, she was healed. Amen. Simple prayers. God loves that. We'll come back to this in our 40 days of prayer, but the bottom line is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sheer faith. A sincere heart and a sure faith. Here's the third thing you can write in your notes. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. Every time God answers a prayer, it's just greater evidence that he's a good and gracious Father. He loves to demonstrate that. You know what? Even when the answer is no or not yet, he loves to demonstrate his goodness. I mean, does a loving parent give their children everything that they want? No, of course not. They grow up terrible kids. And there's many reasons why we don't give our kids everything they want. It might be a point of correction or a point of direction or a point of perfection where there's something, you know, God wants to work out or a point of protection or correction, one of those kind of things. Kids who get everything are spoiled, right? Yeah. God, you didn't answer me. Yes, I did. The answer was no. I mean, there are four possible answers to prayer, right? Yes, no, not yet, and are you kidding? Right? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. Sometimes the answer to prayer is a bigger perspective. And it's like, now I understand. Now I understand why that didn't come. Next chapter 7 of Matthew, Verse 11, Jesus is still speaking. He says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, and he's speaking to us who are, we're flawed, none of us are perfect, we're sinful, but we still want to give good gifts to our kids. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts, give good gifts to those who ask him? James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. The fourth thing you can write in your notes this morning, it's probably the most important one, and that's God longs to be close to you. He longs to be close. Longs to be close to me. Longs to be close to you. If you're away from someone for a long time, you can't wait to talk with them. Before Lori and I came here 22 years ago, I did a lot of missions work. I spent a lot of time in Russia and Turkey and places like that. And I would oftentimes not have access to call home. I'd be gone for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And you know, my son was, you know, second, third grade, something like that, fourth grade maybe. And Lori and I have been married a long time. And you know, you just miss them so much. And like in Russia, you couldn't just like go to a phone booth and call home. And there were no sat phones back then. At least I certainly didn't have one. And you'd have to go to these places. They were kind of scary. They were like a bus station, kind of dark and dingy. And people would be sitting all around. And you don't know what people have going. And you know, the mafia is really big in Russia. They own all the they run all the transportation. And it's kind of dark there sometimes. And so you'd go to this phone place. And you'd go to the lady and you'd try to explain to her, I want to call this number in America. And she'd say, you know, go, you know, something like that. And you'd go sit down and 15 minutes later, half hour later, you'd hear, American! American! And you'd look and they'd say, number 4. And you go over this little booth and you pick up the phone and there would be your loved ones. But when you're away from somebody, you really miss them. You just want to hear their voice, right? You can't wait to talk with him. Can I just tell you this morning that God is waiting to talk to you? Amen. He wants to talk to you. It's a privilege. He wants to hear from you. He's not too busy. He's longing to hear. He wants to be close to you. Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. You know, some parents know the pain of a child who cannot talk. I have a loved one that when she was in her late teens, early 20s, went sideways, lived on the streets and drug addict and did all the things that go along with that. And during that time, she conceived. And so now she's got a son who's in his 20s. He's never spoken a word. Still wears a diaper. Can't speak. Has a few little sign language things he can do. And she's trying to be a good mother. But I can't imagine the pain of having a child that cannot speak to you. Neither can I understand the pain of having a child who won't speak to you. Well, folks, that's how God feels. That's how God feels. He designed you to be in relationship with him. He created you for companionship. He made you to love you. He chose you to be his child. Listen to the passion in this next verse, Hosea chapter 6. This is God speaking. He says, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your love. I don't want your offerings, I want you to know me. You hear the passion? Hear his heart? The longing of God to be in relationship with you and I? One of the most amazing verses in the Bible. I can't hardly believe that Jesus would even say this, but it's John 15, 15. Here it is. He says, no longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends. Is that amazing? Yes. You were formed for friendship with God. God made you to be his friend. Does anything matter more than that? Really, I mean, God made you for friendship. Does anything matter more than that? Will you just walk away casually and say, oh, that's interesting? Don't treat it casually. You were created to be in relationship. How do you get closer to God? I only know of two things you can do. One, you've got to desire it, and you've got to make time for it. That's the only way. And our growth groups will help you do that. We'll study on Sunday mornings here, and then we'll build on what we talk about on Sunday mornings. We'll build on that in our growth groups, and it will help. Psalm 25:14. Friendship with God is reserved by what that means. It's not for everyone. Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. With them alone, he shares the secrets of his promises. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You just take that step and he takes several. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So in the weeks to come, we're going to study on Sunday morning in our growth groups the benefits of being closer to God. I just want to leave you with one simple one this morning. And it's just the closer you are to God, the less stressed you'll be. And the closer you are to God, the more blessed you'll be. Because you'll hear from him. You'll know him. You'll be involved with him. The entire purpose of the 40 days of prayer is to help you get closer to God. If there's any way we can further facilitate your growth in him, please let us know. We want to do anything we can to help you. Will you set your stuff aside?